Today's message is taken from Exodus chapter 3, God's encounter with Moses. There are a lot of important chapter 3s in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, we learn about the fall of Adam and Eve, and the relationship between man and God has been broken. And God has been ever since trying to reveal himself to mankind. And in chapter 2 of Exodus, there's no exception. God revealed himself to Moses. And then also in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we learn about God eventually became man, and God became flesh, and he came to the world and tried to restore this relationship. And we learn that in chapter 3, he taught Nicodemus what does it mean by born again, to have God's Spirit within us. Today's message is on Exodus chapter 3. We would all like to have an encounter with God, don't we? But the question is, how can we have an encounter with God? Chapter 3 is a very familiar message to most of us, with God encountering Moses in a burning bush. Moses was 80 years old when this happened, and most of us think that we're too old to serve God in our 60s, or maybe even 50s, or maybe even 40s. However, Moses was already 80. He spent 40 years in Egypt as the prince of God, as the prince of Egypt. And he spent another 40 years in Midian as a shepherd. And he spent his last 40 years in the wilderness trying to deliver God's people out of Egypt to the promised land. When he accepted God's calling, he was already 80, as we have mentioned. Let's look at what we can learn from Moses' experience of encountering with God. There are four main points on today's sermon. Preparations for encounter with God. Purposes of encounter with God. Power of encounter with God. And last but not least, promises in encounter with God. First of all, let's look at preparations. What kind of preparations do we need to encounter with God? Sometimes we are not prepared to meet God at all. Either we are not aware of his presence in our lives, that we don't encounter with him, or maybe we are not holy and pure so that God cannot encounter with us, or maybe we have all kinds of excuses that we won't want to encounter with God. Let's look at the first preparation, and that's aware of God's presence in us. In Exodus 3:3, Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. What marvelous sight was Moses talking about? It was the burning bush. And what's so special about this burning bush? What will we do when we see a burning bush? I think most of us maybe will run away. In California, we have all kinds of brush fires. And when we see fire, you know, we probably will be so afraid that it's going to spread and consume us one way or the other, that we'll be running away. Some of us may call the police. However, Moses, he actually spent time to study the site. And he saw that the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And it was a true miracle. It was then when he said to himself that I must turn aside and pay attention to this marvelous sight. It is difficult to understand why Moses would pay attention to the burning bush. However, is it because he knew that he was on the holy mountain? In Exodus 3:1, Moses told us that Mount Horeb is actually the mountain of God. Ah, there you go. People may say, you know, he was on the mountain of God, that's why he paid attention. People may say, if I am on the mountain of God, I will leave no rock unturned. I will look behind every bush to look for God. But do we know that all of us Christians, we all have the Spirit of God within us? God's Holy Spirit inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Our body is the temple of God. And this is why the Bible kept on telling us not to defile our body with drugs, with alcohol, or with immoral sex, because it is the holy temple of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it also reminds us that those of us who belong to God, God will give us his spirit as a proof or a seal that we truly belong to him. God's spirit is constantly talking to us if we care to listen. To encounter with God, we must be alert and pay attention to the presence of God's spirit within us. Just like Moses said, I must turn from whatever I'm doing and pay attention to God. The second reason why we don't encounter with God has to do with the fact that we may not be pure or holy. In Hebrews 12:14, the author says, unless we are holy, no one can see God. And God also cried out to Moses from the burning bush. He said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Then Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God, because he knew that he was a sinful person, that he did not dare to look at God. Nowadays, there is a tendency of us to want to be God's buddy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to be careful to understand that we are sinful and God is infinitely pure and holy. A broadcaster of a Christian radio station once said that he was shaving when he was talking to Jesus. Really? He was casually shaving his face in front of a mirror, and God was just standing there in the bathroom talking to him like a servant. Does this person know what happened to people in the Bible when Jesus revealed himself to them? In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John saw Jesus, and he fell down as though he was dead. And people might say, oh, this is just a vision. But the same thing happened to Apostle Peter. When Peter saw Jesus perform the miracle of catching all the fish, he fell down to Jesus' knees, and he cried out, depart from me, for I am a sinful person, O Lord. And Apostle Peter saw the miracle performed by Jesus, he knew that Jesus was God, and right away he saw how sinful and impure himself is compared to this infinitely pure God. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, we saw that Judas led Roman soldiers to arrest Jesus. And Jesus asked them, whom do you seek? And the soldiers replied, the Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replied, I am he. And as soon as he said that, all the Roman soldiers drew back and they fell to the ground. Amen. Sometimes we do try to be aware of God's spirit within us, but we cannot hear him. The reason is maybe we have unconfessed sins in our lives so that we cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we call grieving the Holy Spirit in chapter 4, verse 30 of Ephesians. We can grow numb to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we can be so rebellious that we actually quench the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. To quench the Spirit means that God's Spirit is no longer talking to us. The psalmist also reminded us that in order to be close to God, we need to have a pure heart and clean hands. And 1 John 1:9, John also reminded us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in order to encounter with God, we need to pay attention to God's presence within us, and we need to continuously confess our sins to stay pure and holy. A third reason why we don't encounter with God is that we have so many excuses not to serve him. Sometimes we can be holy, that God is speaking to us. We can even be aware of God's presence, but we're not willing to serve Him. In Exodus 3:11, Moses asked, "Who am I?" And in Exodus 4:10, Moses said, "I have never been good with my speech. I'm slow of speech, and I'm even slow of tongue." He forgot that it is not him, but God who is doing the work through him. He was only a vessel of God in performing God's work. If we notice, most of the disciples of Jesus, they are not educated. They are people like fishermen. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, "God uses the foolish to shame the wise. And no one can boast, and God in this way bringing all glory to himself." In Exodus 3:13, Moses asks again, "If I go to the Israelites, what if they don't know me and they ask me who you are?" And in Exodus 4:1, Moses asks again, "What if they don't believe or listen to what I have to say?" When we rely solely on our own abilities, then we have a lot of concerns. What if this and what if that? But if we realize that it is God who is doing His work through us, then all we need to do is trust and obey. And to summarize how to prepare to encounter with God, we need to constantly pay attention to His presence, much like Moses saying that, "I must turn aside and now pay attention." Secondly, we must stay pure and holy so that God can encounter with us. And much like God told Moses to take off his shoes because he was on the holy ground. And third, we must get rid of any excuses that we have not to serve him. After looking at the preparations to encounter with God, let's look at the purposes of encounter with God. There are two most important purposes to encounter with God, and that's to deliver God's people and to bless the afflicted. How can we deliver the afflicted? God said in Exodus 3:9 to 10, "The cry of the children of Israel has come to him, and he has seen how the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites. So he sent Moses to the Pharaoh to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt." As we know, the bondage of Israelites experience symbolized the bondage of sin. All of us are afflicted by sin and the bondage of sin. And God wants to deliver us. And the only way to deliver us is by the blood of Christ. And for all of us who are saved by the blood of Christ, God is still calling out to us so that we can deliver other people just as He delivered us from the bondage of sin. The second point, the second purpose to encounter with God is to bless the afflicted. In verse 8 and verse 17 of chapter 3 of Exodus, God mentioned two times that He will bring the Israelites into the promised land, the land that is flowing with milk and honey. And this is a true blessing. Of course, the promised land flowing with milk and honey symbolizes heaven. However, the main purpose of salvation is not to get men out of hell into heaven. And I would like to repeat again, the main purpose of salvation is not to get men out of hell and put them in heaven. This is only a byproduct. There's another far more important metaphor in chapter 3 of Exodus, and that's the burning bush. Thorns and bushes generally symbolize sin in the Bible. The bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. Why was the bush not consumed? Because God was in the bush. Our flesh constantly will tempt us to sin, just like the bush which is set on fire. If we accept Christ's spirit into our body, into us, then we are like a bush that is burning but not consumed. But if we don't accept God's Spirit into us, then we will be consumed by the fire, the literal fire of hell. If we accept Christ, then we have God in us, much like God in the burning bush. Therefore, salvation is not merely getting men out of hell and put them in heaven. Salvation is getting God out of heaven and put Him into us. If salvation is merely getting men out of hell and put them in heaven, then all of us who are saved will be just sitting around waiting for our time to go to heaven and not doing much. However, salvation is getting God out of heaven and put him in us. Yes, it is a true blessing to be able to go to heaven. But the biggest blessing is the ability to enjoy God's presence inside us and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. God wants us to give this blessing to others, and this is the second purpose for encountering with God. This will lead us to the third main point, the power of encounter with God. If we have good preparations, if we understand the purposes of encounter with God, then we will be empowered by Him in doing His work. From chapter 3 of Exodus, we see that we will be empowered in three areas. Empowered by His presence, empowered by His word, and empowered by His image. From the triastic structure of this passage, we see that the most important... Can we turn to the next slide? From the triastic structure of the chapter 3, we see that the most important message is in chapter 3 is in verse 12, which is the middle of the triastic structure. And God promised that I certainly will be with you, He was telling Moses. And in verse 5, it mentioned that God is the holy God. And because He is the holy God, He demands our sacrifices in verse 18, which ultimately was fulfilled by the only sacrifice that is acceptable by God, and that is through the blood of Christ. In verse 6 and 16, God reminded Moses that He is the same God who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He wanted Moses to go to Pharaoh to deliver his people out of Egypt into the promised land. And this very same God is still reaching out to us and asking us to deliver His people from the bondage of sin. And He promised that He will be with us if we carry out His will. Besides the power of His presence, we have the power of His word. In verse 15, God told Moses what to say to the Israelites. In verse 16, God told Moses what to say to the elders of Israel. And in verse 19, God told Moses what to say to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. As you see, God told Moses exactly what he should say to all the people that he encountered. And today, God is still speaking to us through His word, which is the Bible. I've seen many people claiming that God is speaking to them directly, ranging from true revelation from God to people claiming that they heard voices from God asking them to kill. How can we know if God is truly speaking to us? How can we discern God's voice from the voices of this world and from the voice of Satan? We will know if we read the Bible only by carefully comparing our revelation to the teaching of the scripture, can we discern whether the message is truly from God. Sometimes Satan will try to confuse us if we are not careful, much like what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He asked Eve, "Did God really say not to eat from any of the trees?" And if we would notice, God did not say that. In the contrary, God said, "You can eat from any tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge." So what Satan told Eve was exactly the opposite to what God said. No wonder some people claim that they heard voices of God telling them to kill. Sometimes Satan will even use God's words to confuse us. Like when Satan tried to tempt Jesus to sin, he actually quoted the Bible, saying that God will send His angels to protect Jesus so that Jesus will not get hurt if he jumps off the top of the temple to show that he was the Son of God. Satan employs Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, on trusting God, and Satan twisted that to justify testing God. And Jesus resisted Satan by using God's word also, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6:16. If we are not careful, if we are not familiar with God's word, we will be easily deceived by Satan, or even think that God is talking to us. Therefore, although God's presence is the most important thing in encountering with God, we should discern God's voice carefully by reading the Bible. And that's why we stress the importance of engaging the Word. Besides the power of His presence, the power of His Word, we need the power of His image. We may have a very good message from God, but people will not believe that we are from God. Moses was afraid that the Pharaoh would not believe him. And God gave him 3 miracles. He was able to turn his staff into a snake, and then the snake can be turned back to a staff. He was able to turn his hand into leprous white, and he was able to restore his hand. He was also able to change the water from the river of Nile into blood. However, the Bible told us that he was not successful. The Pharaoh did not believe in him, although he may have that particular image of God, which is miracles. Because Pharaohs, wise men, and sorcerers, they could do the same thing. In John chapter 2, 23 and 24, we were told that many believed in Jesus' name after seeing his miracles and signs, but Jesus would not give himself to them. Why would Jesus not give himself to them? Because Jesus knew that they only believed after seeing the miracles and signs, and they did not truly believe. Jesus was telling us that miracles cannot make people believe. However, almost immediately after this passage, Jesus explained to Nicodemus of how to be saved, of that the people who truly believe or are born again or are born of the Spirit, they will be like wind. The wind blows where it wishes, but one can hear the sound of it, but does not know where it comes from and where it is going. And so are those who are born of the Spirit. The Greek word for wind is the same word as spirit. So there is a play of words here. What Jesus is saying that, he said no one can see wind, but they can tell that the wind is blowing by the action of the wind. And likewise, no one can see the Holy Spirit in us, but people can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit through our conduct and our behavior. Sometimes we may have a very good message from God, but people will not believe us unless we have proof that we are from God. If we have God in us, it will lead us to transform to His image. And when people see that, they will know that we are from God, not by performing miracles, but through the image of Christ, His love, His compassion, His truth, His mercy, and His grace. This will bring us to the last point of the sermon, God's promises in encountering with us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:5-6, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. Paul is essentially saying that if left to his own abilities, he was useless. He was depending on the divine revelation and the power of Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying the same thing as we are saying today, that he was depending on God's presence and His Word. Only God can make us adequate to do His work. Instead of serving God, it's God who is working through us. We are all ministers of the new covenant, which is forgiveness of our sin through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul calls the new covenant that of the Spirit, and the old covenant that of the letter or law. The old covenant stresses human responsibilities, It is essentially an objective, external standard that God revealed for his people, the Israelites, without special enabling grace. It was intended to show us that we cannot please God by our own abilities. However, the new covenant rests on the promise that includes the indwelling and the empowering presence of God's Spirit within us, which enable us to obey. The last point is now go, which is recorded in Exodus 4, verse 12. God commanded Moses to go. It reminds us of the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. A lot of times, we're afraid to think about what God will send us, like maybe African country, or maybe some hostile Muslim country. But maybe it is just a neighbor who needs to hear the message of God. Or maybe it is a colleague at work. Or maybe it is a family member. However, we may still have a lot of excuses, much like Moses. But we have to remember 2 Corinthians 3:5. Our sufficiency does not come from us, but from God. All we are asked to do is to go and let God work through us. Let's summarize what we have studied today on the subject of encounter with God. First of all, we have to know that if we want to know God's will in us, we need to prepare ourselves so that we can encounter with God by paying attention to his presence in us, also by continuously confessing our sins so that we can stay pure and holy. And we need also to get rid of all our excuses so that we can encounter with God. Next, we need to know the importance of the purposes of encountering with God. It's to deliver people who are under the bondage of sin. Salvation is not getting men out of hell and putting them in heaven, but getting God out of heaven and putting into men. And anyone who has God's Spirit in him will not be consumed by the eternal fire, but will have everlasting life. Next, we have to know the importance of the power of encounter with God, that he promised that he will be with us, and any revelation from God must be tested by God's word. And no one will listen to us unless we bear the image of Christ with love, compassion, mercy, truth, and grace. Lastly, we should remember God's promises that our sufficiency in carrying out his work depends on him, and all he asks us to do is simply go. The challenge for today's sermon is, when God calls you, trust his promises and go forward. And let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us this wonderful message of encounter you between Moses and you. May we learn to prepare ourselves so that we are ready to encounter with you. May we understand the importance of and the purposes of encountering with you is to deliver the afflicted and to bless the afflicted. May you empower us through your presence and the reading of your word, and may you transform us through the image of your Son. Last but not least, may we rely on your promises in carrying out your work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.